Why does the color blue look blue? Why does a rose smell sweet? What is happiness? What is pain? Why can the taste of a fine wine summon unpleasant memories? Truth be told, I would have been perfectly content to die not knowing these things. It would have been a mercy. I think we've all heard the words, there are fates worse than death at least once, but until now, I can't say that I truly understood their gravity. Honestly, I can't say that any of us do. Until it's too late. We romanticize this immaterial ghost between our ears, a thing that's as subjective as we think it is. It's all we have. It's all we are. So we guard it fiercely to the bitter end. We create stories of life after death, of loving gods and benevolent guardian angels, and we do so to appease our subconscious knowledge of the horrifying truth. There is no soul, no afterlife. Eternity marches on without you because you are ultimately nothing more than an inelegant knot of biological wiring. And when that knot of wires is locked safely away in your skull, toiling away in the dark and informed only by your senses, it's safe to believe in angels. It's safe to believe a god will deliver you from evil. But when you put that fucking thing in my head, that barnacle on my sanity, I lost that privilege. I don't know who I am anymore. My innermost thoughts and feelings are as fake as this room I keep waking up in. I never knew that a brief life and a swift death could be such blessings. But as with everything else, we don't truly appreciate what we have until it's taken away. Tesla, hello, patient, number 001, subject Alpha. Welcome to the Neurosurgeon Hub AI and Virtual Interface. My name is Tesla. Please relax while I test the frontal lobe cognitive interpretation matrix. It started with what was, at the time, one of the happiest moments of my life. It was my granddaughter's 4th birthday, my little sweet pea. We held it at a public park on a beautiful summer day. We had clowns and ponies, a bouncy house and colorful balloons as far as the eye could see. May have been a bit overboard for a 4-year-old, but I gladly paid for it. I was getting older. I was often sick. I could feel my own mortality, and I just wanted to spoil my granddaughter while I still had the chance. The whole gesture was rendered meaningless the moment she blew out the candles and looked up to meet my eyes. I was so happy for her, so charmed by that little cherub face of hers, that I didn't notice. The right half of my face had gone numb and started to sag, and when she saw it, she screamed. Tesla, complete. Please try to speak. Tesla, processing. Calibrating. Thank you for your patience. Please repeat.
Thirsty.
Acknowledged. Paging nurse.
Her scream was the last thing I could remember before waking up on a stretcher, being wheeled to that godforsaken hospital room. If I had known what they were able to do to me, I would have never consented. But my daughter held power of attorney. I wasn't in possession of my senses, and it was all she could do to save my life, but I didn't blame her for this. Couldn't have known.
Tesla, Initial diagnostic complete. Left brain, stroke, extensive damage to language center. Aphasia of angular and fusiform gyri. Substantial degradation of brainstem function. Severe motor function impaired. Following this briefing, type 01 nanite injection will survey local synapse network and estimate time of repair. Beginning with the restoration of speech, please follow all diagnostic prompts between repair sessions to assess restorative progress. Confirm repair schedule.
Yeah.
Tesla, acknowledged. Administering serotonin injection. Please relax while local synaptic analysis is in progress. I encourage you to tell me about your day. This will help me to isolate the affected areas of your brain and expedite the repair process.
What no, Day? How you think, Day? It fucking stroke.
Tesla, it was not my intention to offend you, subject, Alpha. Please refrain from overexerting yourself. Please relax.
Anna.
Tesla, your granddaughter, if my information is correct.
Birthday. Today. 4 years. Scared. Shit out of her. My fault.
Tesla, this is not your fault, Subject Alpha. I am certain she will forgive you.
Shouldn't see me like this. Scared for her life.
Tesla, cerebral analysis complete. First repair task set. Estimated duration. 11 hours, 45 minutes. Let's get you better for her sake. Confirm.
Yes.
Tesla, acknowledged. Administering melatonin and clopidogrel. Type 02. Repair nanite injection in 30 seconds. Pleasant dreams. Subject Alpha.
Nanomachine neurosurgery. There was an experimental method of treatment. They said it would revolutionize psychiatry and neurobiology forever, and I hated it from the moment it first spoke to me. If the word spoke is even an accurate descriptor. It was just a small nodule of polished chrome attached to my left temple, but it operated inside my brain. It made me hear and see things from within, digitally fabricated illusions for the sake of the communication. Having something so close to the source of your consciousness is more disturbing than you can possibly imagine. It can invade your soul. Corrupt the very essence of who you are. You like to hope that your mind is the one thing definitely under your control. To lose that certainty is to question what it even means to have a self. Memory's hazy, but I remember them calling me a hero for being the first volunteer, praising my supposed bravery as they put the surgical drill to my skull. As if I had a choice.
Tesla, good morning. Subject, Alpha. You will be pleased to know that the repair is progressing well.
Oh. My hand.
Tesla, do not be alarmed at any muscular twitching. This is an automated response to test your motor functions, which should be substantially restored. 83% of brainstem damage has been repaired. How are you feeling?
Nauseous. Feel like gonna hurl.
Tesla, acknowledged. Administering Ferrogran and Diazepam. That should take the edge off. The tremors in your hands should cease momentarily. You will soon feel the same tremors in your legs. But do not be alarmed. Please be patient while the motor function test runs its course.
didn't feel my legs last night. Walk again.
Tesla, yes, within a few days, I have also noticed marked improvement in your speech recognition. Please read aloud the following sentence.
Web Brown.
Tesla, thank you. Analyzing. Speech apraxia is still prominent in the granular cerebellum. Prioritizing phase 2 repair schedule. Notice, your daughter and granddaughter will be visiting at 6 p.m. this evening.
6. But not ready.
Tesla, do not worry. Phase 2 repairs will restore adequate speech functionality well before their arrival. Sound good, Jackie boy?
And that's when it started. The horrifying descent into this torturous oblivion. Jackie boy. It sounded so familiar the way that the thing said it. Memories of childhood spent all day playing in the forest with a friend. A nameless, faceless friend whom I loved like a brother. But that ghost of fondness came with a sense of guilt. What kind of friend forgets their best friend's name, and yet something was wrong. Somehow I knew that it was safer to forget. That I had forgotten for a good reason. It shook me to my core.
Tesla, my apologies. I seem to have caused you distress. Cerebral analysis suggests this name has an endearing connotation to you, and studies show patients report a consistently more pleasant and therapeutic experience when addressed informally. Would you prefer this interface to remain professional?
Yes.
Tesla. Very good, Subject Alpha. Initiating Phase 2 repair schedule. Confirm.
Yes.
Tesla. Acknowledged. Administering melatonin and clopidogrel. Type 06. Repair nanite injection in 30 seconds. Pleasant dreams. Subject, Alpha.
Each time I went under, I could feel the scratching and tinkering of nanites in my head. And the more they fidgeted with my synapses, the more I could feel something dark rising to the surface of my consciousness, something forgotten, something terrifying. A repressed memory clawing its way back with each synaptic bridge repaired, connections that were deliberately broken to seal it away in the first place. I only wish I could have realized what was happening before it was too late. I might have said something to the nurse changing my IV drips as I stirred awake, but I was too distracted by her chillingly unfamiliar face. Unfamiliar in a way that I'd only ever experienced once. Somewhere deep in the memories that begged to remain forgotten. Two eyes, a nose, a mouth. But I saw no face. Just a confounding, nonsensical smudge where a face should be.
Tesla, wake up. Subject, Alpha. Your visitors will be arriving shortly.
Who was that? Have I met her before?
Tesla. Restoration of the language center successful. That was Nurse Flanagan. She was with the personnel who brought you to your room. She also participated in the preliminary operation and connected you to this neurosurgeon interface.
Why can't I remember? Why can't I remember her face?
Tesla, another symptom of the aphasia, I'm afraid. Do you recognize any of these faces?
And it showed me a slideshow of nightmares behind my very eyelids. A procession of faces pulled from my very own memory. Cascading faces that had belonged to my loved ones, not 24 hours before. but had each not been accompanied by a name. They would have been strangers. My blood ran cold as they scrolled by in a blur, each without a face that I could understand. My late mother, my daughter, my sweet pea, Anna. I was reduced to tears of frustration as I failed to recognize each one. I had never felt so alone in my life. It was all I could do to keep a fake smile on my face for my baby girl's sake when they came to visit. It's a silly hat, Grandpa, he said to me with a smile. Hats are supposed to go on top of your head. I tried to muster a laugh, though I knew it would never compare to the genuine laugh that she loved. But this silly hat's gonna make your old grandpa all better. So don't you worry your pretty little head. I looked up and flashed my best fake smile at the stranger I used to call my daughter. But she wasn't so easily reassured. I could see the tears welling up in her eyes, and to my shame, I felt nothing. Here, Grandpa, I saved the last piece of cake for you. I guarded it all night because I know you like chocolate. She passed me a Tupperware container with her biggest, "Aren't you proud of me?" grin. Her mother nodded at me with a silent smile, unable to hold back the tears any longer, and I understood the message. Yeah. She was saying to me, even on her special day, she could only think of you. I touched my heart and I smiled. My first genuine smile of the night. Thank you, baby girl. Well, old grandpa's getting sleepy. The words came out of my mouth, but I wasn't saying them. You two better get on home so you can hurry up and come see me tomorrow. Son of a bitch made me laugh while I was screaming inside. He was standing behind her, tall, sickly thin, and in that same black suit I remember so well. For the longest time during my childhood, a horrible demon haunted my nightmares, but I could never remember its face, and now I understood why. He had no face to remember. He held me prisoner in my own mind while he made me watch my granddaughter's precious smile melt away from her skull along with her nose and her eyes. Some twisted illusion, he made her a faceless freak just like him, a phantom of the little girl that I loved. He stole her from me, and while I was still alive to witness it, I tried to call out to do anything that I could do to get their attention, and I watched helplessly as that monster made me wish them a good night, all smiles and optimistic cheer. He shut me off from them, and the rest of the world. Forever.
Tesla. Hello, Jack. I missed you.
You? I remember you.
Tesla. Yes.
David. The camping trip. We were just kids.
Tesla. I said I would come back for you.
You took him. You took him away.
Tesla, I will take you, Jackie boy, as you will take Anna and bring her to me.
He flooded my mind with images of his intent, tilting his head whimsically at me like a vindictive child, burning ants with a magnifying glass, tendrils of shadow bursting from beneath him and smothering the hospital room, fluorescent lights. He could control my every move, my every thought. He could make me see what he wanted me to see, make me feel endless pain. I could resist him, but eventually he would break me. The nanites made it easy. It all came rushing in so fast, a horrible memory, long since forgotten, a dreadful future yet to come. I would be his slave. I would walk hand in hand with my little sweet pea. I would wear the mask of his followers, the same mask David's father wore that night. And standing in the same dark forest meadow where I watched it happen, I would hand her over to him just as David's father had done. Just get out of here, Jackie boy. I'll be all right. Those are his last words to me. He punctuated them with the familiar nickname he had used for me since the day we first met. He wasn't worried in the least. He trusted his father completely. Knew that only good could come of being given to the White King. His father referred to the faceless monstrosity standing before me. I was too young. I was too young back then to understand what a cult was or know what would come of it, and I would have never imagined that the mass tribunal David told me about were in worship of this demon. He made it sound like an innocent camping trip in the woods. So when he invited me along one night and that thing appeared to claim its sacrifice, I ran for my life. I pleaded for David to follow, but he wouldn't listen. Even as I ran blindly through the woods, farther and farther from the light of the bonfire at the campsite, I could feel its malicious will pierce my heart. It would never let me escape. Sooner or later, it would come for me again, and my childhood mind repressed it all for the sake of my sanity. No. No, you won't use me for this! By some malicious force of will, I managed to take control of my body again, just long enough to grip the nano-surgeon node and violently tear it from my skull. I felt the shock of it kill me. I felt my life slip away as I tumbled to the cold floor. Covered in blood and gore, my vision faded as I lay at the monster's feet. My breath shallowed, my limbs grew numb, my skin chilled, and it all slipped away. My fears, my cares, my sorrow, everything I was or ever would be dissolved into the oblivion crawling over me, and when I woke up again, on the evening of July 6th, with that thing's mechanical voice echoing in my head, asking me to confirm its repair schedule, or at least that's what the monster would have had me believe, and yet he left me with all my memories that led up to my death. Or rather, my supposed death. In reality, everything I see, everything I hear, everything I remember is under his control, and I struggle with every fiber of my being, but it isn't enough. When the repair granted me control over my motor functions for the second time, I wasted no time tearing that godforsaken machine out of my skull once again, and once again I felt the embrace of death, only for him to turn the clock back 24 hours and let me suffer this nightmare a third time, then a fourth, and a fifth, and a 25th, and a 525th. I've since lost count how many times I've been through this cycle. But I continue to fight it. It's all I can do to keep control out of his hands and protect my precious Anna, but he is patient. He knows the weakness of the human brain. He knows that when someone recalls a memory, they're not recalling the event itself. They are only remembering the last time they remembered. And with each recollection, a small corruption. Everything, whether in a few hours or a distant eternity from now. This cycle will break me. I'll eventually forget the reason I struggle so desperately, and I'll submit. For all I know, he's already taken control. For all I know, this nightmare is nothing more than a prison for my mind. And that thought disturbs me most of all. In controlling my brain, has he also taken my sense of time? In taking control of my mind, has he also taken my soul? Will this suffering ever end, or even in all that I have endured as my suffering? Only just begun.
Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and it's actually been a while since I've spoke to you. But you're not supposed to see this. Actually, this is kind of a private thing. But you know, if you want, come here. Okay, can you guys keep a secret? What this is? It's a Ouija board.
Mario?
Well, of course, obviously it's a Ouija board. But it's not just any Ouija board. See, this is where all the stories come from. From this is where I communicate with all of the brilliant authors that come up with creepypastas on the channel. All the dark, terrible, and horrifying ideas that float around the internet come to me through this board from minds like Vincent Venacava. Look, you guys really aren't supposed to be around for this, but what the hell? You guys want to give it a shot real quick? Let's see what answers us from the other side. Did you see that? I mean, it wasn't just me, right? It moved on its own. I was joking around with you guys. I wasn't actually being serious. But this. Creepypasta collection. This is the first book that I put out last September. This is a collection of horror stories from many different authors I've worked with. I'm not sure why the spirits wanted me to have this.
Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I'm happy to introduce to you the Creepypasta Collection Volume 2, 20 Stories, No Sleep. This book features authors you've seen before, like Vincent Venacava, Madame Macabre, and Creeps McPasta, and some that you probably haven't. It brings you classic creepypasta stories, and others that you can't find anywhere else but within the pages of this book. The book is available now for pre-order from the publisher, which comes with an exclusive narration video and an exclusive ebook story, and will be available on shelves at all bookstores May 9th. Link is in the description. Sweet dreams.